And during the month of May and June, we went out to the neighbours of this parish, to our neighbours in this parish, 650 homes, and we knocked the doors. And we had a chat and we said, hello, how you doing? And in that we asked people, is there anything we can do for you practically, you know, around the place where we want to show up and kind of help if there's something that you'd like done? And we also made the same offer to the local primary school, Bangor Central Integrated Primary School, which is just across the road there. And to our delight, we got four projects back from the householders, and we got one kind of large project from the school. And you might think that that's not that much, you know, 650 homes and only four projects and one at the school coming back. But actually, like, if a bunch of people you didn't know knocked your door and started talking to you and said you were from the church and you wanted to come and fix something, maybe not that many of us would actually want to say yes. You don't know what the work's going to be like. You don't know if they're any good. But four brave souls invited us into their homes, and we were really blessed by that. And we saw it as an opportunity that had been given to us from God to go out and to try and do this, to go and bless people in a practical way in their homes, and in that way to kind of embody this gospel of renewal that we all celebrate. So it was wonderful. We had teams out doing all sorts of work, and there's a saying that says that work is worship when it's done to the glory of God. And that's what I seen this week. You know, there was talk of people painting the backs of things that would never be seen, because there was a real desire amongst the team just to kind of show up and do the best work they could to bring blessing and to honor God. And it was a real beautiful thing. So I'm really celebrating that today. And I want to show you a short video of kind of the project, a bit of an overview of what we're involved in. We're going to watch that now. Thank you, Heather.
Everything's a bit of work, so we're going to be taking out the old and concrete menu.
The team consisted of 18 people, and I want to say just a big thank you to all those people who came out and gave up their time and their talents to make that happen. And really, because we kind of had slightly more work to do than the number of people we had to do the work, they all ended up grafting really hard. So thank you very much to the team. I want to say also thank you to Michael Walters and to Justin McCauley, who took on kind of real leadership roles to make those projects happen. So thank you especially to both of those guys. I want to welcome Michael to come up and just tell us a wee bit about your experience, Michael, really, of the week. And basically, how was it on the team and on the projects you were involved in? And how did you sense God at work through what we were doing? And I will just see if I can actually get this microphone to work.
Hello?
There we go. Happy days.
Are we on? We're on. Yeah, thank you, Johnny. It was a busy week. It was a challenging week. It was a very wet week at times. It had its frustrations, but it had its rewards. It was a really rewarding week. And one thing that really stood out over anything else was God's timing and God's plan and purpose and all of that. A lot of people here were involved in the door knocking that we did. And every night, whenever we met out in the welcome area, we prayed and we asked for God's hand, we asked for God to open doors, we asked for God's will to be done in Bangor. And I know a lot of us would talk about it and we thought, you know what, you know, there could be, for example, in August we'd be going out on the streets and clearing up the streets and physically moving through the town. But you know what, God's timing kind of looked after us in that one, because with everything going on in the minute, Could you imagine if we'd all put high-vis jackets on and gone out into Bangor this week? I mean, somebody somewhere would have been offended by something. Someone would have thought we either stood for or against something, and it could have caused real issues. And actually, whenever we knocked those doors and pushed those doors, God opened the right ones for us. As Johnny says, we had several projects in homes where we either gave a new lease of life to banisters, I believe, or where we ripped out the old and put in the new with fences. And we also took a real big step in our relationship with Bangor Central Primary. And that was one that I was probably most involved in, in fact, entirely involved in, the garden debacle that you saw on screen there, which has left me with sore shoulders and arms. But no, it's been a really good week. It's been a really encouraging week. The painting, as you can see from before and after photos, kudos to our photographer, absolutely superb. And it really does make a difference. When you walk into that playground on Monday and saw how dreary some of the stuff looked, and you walk in on Friday and saw how bright and clean and fresh it all looked. And actually, my Rebecca commented on that whenever she came along on Friday. And for a primary school child to comment on how clean and fresh and shiny things look, that is what the reaction of those primary school kids is going to be when they get back to school in a couple of weeks' time. So, yeah, really, really encouraging work, and really blessed to be a part of it.
Brilliant. Well, you know, thank you again to everybody on the team. Really, my last question is for you and Justin and really everybody else who was on the team. But it's basically, are you ready to do it again next year? Are you excited about that?
Bring it on.
Thank you. So it was, you know, it's a really kind of different witness for us to go out and do that. And you know, often we're knocking the doors, we're talking to people, maybe we're out in the street giving stuff away, but this was a very different thing, a very quiet but a very embodied way to share our faith with people. And it was really impactful, and I'm looking forward to what's going to come in the future. We'll talk about it again in a little moment, but we're going to go on to talking about Jesus being the bread of life this morning. And that's going to tie in to a bit of what we were doing in Practical Help Week. But I wonder, could I invite the kids to come up and help me with a game that has been really pretty poorly planned, but I'm hoping it's going to pan out well. So encouraging attitudes would be really helpful with that. So all the kids, come on up and see if you can give me a hand with this game of bread. And I'm going to use this mic, Stephen, for the walking about here, and see if I can find my pages. Okay. Guys, welcome. How's it going? Come on up. Good to see yous. How is everybody? All good? Thumbs up? So tell me this. Who likes bread?
Me.
You? Who else likes bread? Everybody like bread? Okay. Sort of. Right. Anybody want to tell me what their favorite bread is? What about?
Crusty bread. Bake your own bread.
Baking your own bread. Wow, that's fantastic. Lovely. Must come round, Rodney and Jennifer, and get a wee bit of that bread sometime. That sounds great. Anybody else? What about yourself? Not sure. Sometimes I don't know either. I'm not too sure either.
My favorite bread is flat bread with a square on it.
That sounds lovely. That's really good. I think Jill's favorite bread is flat bread too, so that was very good. And you had your hand up.
Banana bread is my favourite.
Lovely, lovely. So everybody likes different types of bread, Rebecca?
Bagel.
Bagel. Bagel. Bagels are great. I love bagels. Apparently they're not that good for you, I've heard, but I'm not sure if that's true or not. But anyway, I like them and you like them too. Robin, did I miss you?
I like white bread.
White bread. Taken after your dad. Great. Great. Okay, well look, we're going to play a game with some bread now. Underneath the seats of some people in the audience is, in the congregation, it's not an audience, there's one for everybody at home, is a piece of paper. So if you can look under your seat and see if you might have a piece of paper, and if you do, would you hold it up above your head, please? And, yes, would you like to tell us what bread you like?
Wood fire.
Wood fired, that's fancy. Come on up here and help us out. That sounds lovely. So did anybody find their bits of paper? Michael, you might need to help with this if you've hidden them too well. Well done, Nurse Bagels, to get us started. Okay, so has anybody ever taken part in a walking race? Okay, so it's a race where you walk instead of run. And actually, you get disqualified if you run, because I'm worried about you all falling over. But what I'm going to actually do is say, can you, in an orderly manner, walk to the person holding up the bagels, and they're going to be on the screen here, and bring back the piece of paper with a bagel on it. 3, 2, 1, go! Okay, well done, well done. So if you stand there and hold up the bagel, that's great. Have we any other bits of paper out there? Anybody else? Yes, well done, Jackie. Okay, who likes brioche? Anybody like brioches? Right, okay, so brioches are good. Everybody ready to go on the next leg of the walking race? We'll do this one in a wee minute, well done. Okay, go and bring me back, please, some brioche. Guys, you are sticking to the rules here. This is really good. Well done. Okay. Come on up. We've got a couple more to do. So he's doing okay. So what we're going to do next is pancakes. Now, pancakes is controversial because apparently it may or may not be a bread. But anyway, it's in my skit as being a bread. So if you've got pancakes, hold them up. And guys, go and get the pancakes and bring them up. No, that's good. Anybody else got bread out there? Ah, happy days, Harry. Croissant. Another controversial one. It might be a pastry. We're not sure. But bring the croissant back. Okay, so we should have lots of bits of bread. Hold up your bits of bread, please. Now, there's one more bit of bread that I would like to find, and I'm really hoping everybody out there can find this one. Just in case you're not sure, it looks like this. Guys, go and find me the bread of life, would you? Please. Ah, well done. Now, well done. Now I'm going to try and show you why this is actually your favorite type of bread. Even though these ones are all good, and we can eat all these things, and they are lovely, and they're gifts from God, and we can enjoy them. Actually, this one here, thank you that Rebecca's holding up, is a sign for the bread of life. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And so what we learn is that God loves us, and he came in the person of Jesus, that anybody that wants to come to him and accept him and say that they want Jesus to be their friend will never be hungry again, will never be thirsty. In a spiritual sense, Jesus will look after them and provide for them throughout their lives. So as parents and as a church community, our hope for you all, and what we pray for you all, is that you will come and see that Jesus is the bread of life, and that even though you enjoy all these other types of bread, you will always know that Jesus is the best type of bread. So thank you very much. Let's give them a round of applause. Yes, you can keep those. Oh, sorry, hold on, before you go. Yes, I'll give you one here now. Now listen, I've got these for you. The deal with these is you have to ask your parents if it's okay to eat them before you eat them. And you might need to hang on to them till after lunch, but take one of these each, and well done.
Can I make an announcement?
You want to make an announcement? Okay, what's your announcement?
I am not wearing any shoes, just socks.
Oh, I see that. That's okay, you know. Yes, okay. Has everybody got some? Okay, you take an extra one for your sister. That's grand. Did you get one? Guys, thank you for helping. Thank you for helping. There you go. Check with your parents before you eat them, please. That's great. Thank you. Can we give them a round of applause, please? Guys, thank you very much for helping to introduce our topic today. Sorry, Jesse. Major tears coming here. Sorry about that, darling. You have to come up, though. You have to come up. So, thank you for helping introduce our topic today, which is about the bread of life. And if I can get that switched off, happy days. So, where are we? Okay. So, thank you for sticking with that. Thank you for helping out. That was much appreciated. So, as you saw, and we've talked about, Practical Help Week was last week. It was a great week. Loads of blessing, and really wonderful to see God's family at work in the community. And one of the things that struck me about everything that was going on last week was the contrast between the kind of high-profile events that were going on the TV that Michael mentioned and the low-profile way that God's purpose was being worked out through Practical Help Week. The quiet witness of going out into the community to do some DIY contrasted with the news cycle, which was full of noise and opinion about what really should be done about what was going on last week on the streets. Now, don't get me wrong, God was powerfully at work in what was going on and in the opinions that were being shared, and there were real moments of beauty there, which I'm sure many of us saw, where there was people embracing after dispute and all sorts of things. But I was reminded that often God's purposes are worked out in the world in unnoticeable ways, and that's what's really, really struck me about this Practical Help Week. See, as human beings, we can be very clear about what it is we think is best, what we think we want. And that can apply in many different scenarios. We always kind of think, after we've listened to a few things, we've got the answer. But the reality is that actually what we're really not good at doing is figuring out what is it that we really actually need. What is the deepest needs that we have as people, as society, and how do we address those? It got me thinking that the reason actually why God sometimes appears not to answer some prayers is because he might be protecting us from things that we think we want but that aren't actually any good for us. And then maybe some things actually happen in our lives, and that's God's way of giving us what we need, but we don't really recognize it or understand it. So maybe God won't always give us actually what we want, but he will actually give us always what we need. In the passage today, Jesus is being hassled by a group of people who are really asking him to miraculously produce physical bread to feed their physical hunger. But instead of doing that, Jesus says to them, "I am the bread of life. I'm the bread that came down from heaven, the living bread. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And this bread which I offer the world so that it may live is my flesh." The bread Jesus was talking about wasn't to feed physical hunger. It was to feed spiritual hunger. And once eaten, Jesus said that the bread would give people eternal life and that they would never be spiritually hungry again. And many people in our world today would actually argue that what is going on in the world, the bad things we see happening, is because our world is starved spiritually and it's ravaged by spiritual starvation. So what I want to ask you this morning is, what if Jesus is really life-giving food for a starving world? What if God has already given the world everything it needs, and all we need to do is actually believe it? The words Jesus spoke that day went on to change the world. And people down the ages have come to him for answers that the world can't give them. The Roman Empire and countless people since have been transformed by eating living bread. Many have been willing to lay down their lives rather than recant their belief that Jesus is alive, because of the power of his invitation and his sacrifice. And many people actually right in this room today, including myself, can talk and tell stories about God's power in their lives, how they've experienced transformation and new life, life-changing power given to them through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The world didn't think that it needed Jesus, but it did. It needed him. And God is still at work drawing people to the person of Jesus Christ. Often out of sight, not in the headlines, God is quietly remaking our world, growing a family of believers who have come to his Son in faith and been filled with the bread of heaven. Jesus went on to say, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. and at the last day I will raise them up. The God we follow is three in one. It's a Trinitarian God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three separate persons existing in perfect unity from before the foundation of the world. Perfect community. But how God draws people into relationship with himself through the person of Jesus remains a mystery that we continue to try and probe and fathom. What I can talk about is my personal experience. Before I met Jesus, I only really knew about God the Father, the Old Testament God. I'd read a Bible up until the point where I sort of stopped, which was before I got to the New Testament. And so I just had this view of God being distant and angry and having done some miraculous things in the past, but not really relevant now. And then one day somebody talked to me about Jesus, and it was like the Holy Spirit just opened my eyes, and I could see for the first time this person. And I knew in that moment that everything had changed. And my life has never been the same since. And this week, because of Practical Help Week, I got the opportunity to have a conversation like I was involved in then with someone else. Wonderful, wonderful lady. And I got to speak to her about how God loves her, about how God is real, about how no matter what she's done, she is loved and cherished and treasured by God. And to prove it, he sent his son to die on the cross to redeem her and you and me. And how he raised him up after 3 days, and how he ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father. To prove that eternal life is available for all who come and believe and eat the living bread. Jesus said, "This bread which I will offer the world so it may live is my flesh." See, receiving eternal life is simple. It's as easy as picking up a piece of bread that God draws you to and invites you to eat. And when you do that, you receive eternal life. And the way that that happens is by believing that Jesus laid his life down for you and that he was raised for you. And that is the center of the Christian faith. So if you're here today and you haven't yet become a follower of Jesus, maybe this is the time that God is drawing you to Jesus Christ. And he wants to fill you today with food that will never go off. Maybe today you're here and you have eaten the living bread, you have established a relationship with Jesus, you've believed in him, but it was a long time ago. And if that's true, there's great news, because the reality is that no matter where you're at today with God, he is holding on to you, and he will not let you go. The Israelites thought that they knew God, but when they came to Jesus, they asked him only for manna, which is bread to feed physical hunger. But Jesus said to them, "Well, your ancestors ate the manna, and they all died. Maybe you've been living on manna today, following God's but seeking sustenance in the things of the world, coming to church every Sunday, but you've never actually tasted the living bread." God says to you today, let go. That other stuff is starving you. And he invites you to come because he loves you and he wants to fill you to overflowing with his life and his love in the person of Jesus Christ. So having been filled with that life, eternal life, which starts right now for anybody who believes, how do we live like people who will never be spiritually hungry again? Because actually that's what God wants to do through us. He wants to bring renewal and recreation in the world through a community of people who are filled to overflowing. One of the things we can do is be a people of hope. Of hope that cannot never be put down. One of the ways that shows up is when we go through hard times. Actually, especially when we go through hard times. Illness, bereavement, heartbreak, disappointment, strife, argument. All those things hurt. But the Bible tells us that we are not to sorrow as people with no hope. Instead, we remember that God has given us eternal life in Jesus. He has fed us with living bread. And so we encounter those difficulties in life as people with immense hope. That hope will sustain us. It'll be food for us. And it'll shine out of us to others that we meet. Peter tells us to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. Conversations about the trials we face, conversations about the news cycle and what's going on in the world, become opportunities to point people to the bread of life in a way that's gentle and respectful. Another thing we can do is to practice being thankful. Start each day thanking God, recognizing that He's actually given you everything you need to face what's coming that day, no matter what it is. Sometimes that's hard because it kind of goes against how we're wired. We're like hardwired to complain. I'm a professional complainer. Jill will tell you that. But as people of hope, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be retrained. That doesn't have to be the story. And we can begin to swim upstream against the tide of the world and be people who spread hope and be trained to cut out complaining. Imagine that in your workplace and in your family. All you ever speak is words of encouragement and hope, and they never hear you complain. I used to work with a guy who would ask us every day, "How's your day? How are you getting on?" And if he said good, he would say, "Tell your face." And that's me, you know. It doesn't show. But as we go from here today, we have the opportunity to have our heads up, to look people in the eye, to be filled with confidence and hope because we're filled with the bread of life. And even that in itself is a powerful witness. So come to Jesus. Don't settle for bread that spoils. Jesus said, "I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have given us this invitation. You didn't give us what we want, but you gave us what we need. We didn't recognize what you were doing, Lord, but you broke into what was happening here and you brought life, eternal life, in the person of Jesus Christ. You fed us with the bread of heaven. Lord, for anybody that's here today who is not united to you in the person of Jesus, I pray that now by your Spirit you will draw them, that they will recognize they are hungry and they will know where the food's to be found. Bring them to Jesus, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to stand and sing, if I can look at the right sheet. Beautiful one. Let's stand and sing to the Lord.